of salvation. You know, we all want to be assured in our relationship with God. And have you ever just sat in the food court at the mall? I mean, it's getting ready for the holiday season. So how many are you going to do more shopping than you really want to do, right? You know, I'm part of you. I'm not Mr. Shopper. I'd rather stay home. That's just who I am. I'm kind of like Mr. Homebody. And so, but you ever gone to the food court and just sat there and watched people? You ever done that? Now that's fun. You ever sat there and just watched somebody just get into a real, like a little tiff with somebody else, or like boyfriend, girlfriend problem, and you're just sitting there and you're just watching, and they're going back and forth, and you're just like, whoa. And maybe the response is, or maybe there's a young teen that's trying to justify a purchase, right? Or a spouse trying to justify a purchase. Oh, it was on sale. I mean, there was a whole whopping 5% off, you know, and buy one, get, you know, buy three, get like none free. And so it's just this whole, they're trying to convince them, and you're listening to all that's going on, and the other one's insecure, and the other one's talking, and they're trying to be assured in their relationships, because we all want to be assured in our relationships. You know, my daughter, she's three. She's two. She's about three. And she's so funny. I mean, she's got juice. I mean, she's really got it. And so she's got energy, and she just is funny girl. And she likes to, you know, me to chase her, right? You know, little girl, you know, she wants daddy to chase her, and I got to act scary, because then it's not fun. I can't just walk around like this. I got to actually act like I'm scary, but I can't act too scary, can I? What I have to do is I just have to, but sometimes dads like to act too scary, don't they? Let's see this girl really scream. And so, you know, she's kind of running, and then all of a sudden I'm like, rah! You know what's so funny about the whole equation is she doesn't run from me. When she really does get scared, where does she run? Yeah, she's like, ah! She wants me to pick her up and wrap her up. She just wants to be assured of her relationship. You know what a Christian is? A Christian is not a Christian because they go to church. Did you know that? You know that being a Christian is not somebody that does more good than bad, though you would hope that a Christian does, right? But some would say that I'm a Christian because of my behavior, or because of where I hang out spiritually, or because of I come to a church service on Sunday, or I'm a Christian because my parents were Christians, or I was a Christian because I got baptized, or I'm a Christian because I got confirmed, or I'm a Christian because I went to catechism, or I'm a Christian because I went to Sunday school, or when you look at all the things I do. But do you know that actually a Christian is somebody who has God in them and they are in God? I mean, just think about that for a minute. A Christian is somebody who has God in them. A Christian is one who's been born again. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read for us a passage in 1 John 4, verse 13. He says this: "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelt in him and he in God. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." And what that passage of Scripture does is, in three different ways, it tells us how that we can know that we are a Christian. The reason why I'm preaching this way tonight is this. As I travel the United States, I meet some really wonderful people. Some wonderful people who, they just say, "I'm a Christian." And they say they're a Christian, but they're not really a Christian. Oh, they're part of a collection of people who claim to be Christians. But a Christian is not just somebody who hangs out with other Christians. A Christian is one who has God in them and they are in God. And yet simultaneously, there's some people that they walk around that they truly have been saved. God really does dwell in them. And because of their fears and because of their up and down nature, they're just always wondering, I wonder if I'm a Christian. I wonder if I'm a Christian. And so what I want to do tonight is I just want to tell us how we could be assured of our relationship with God. The first test of assurance in this passage of Scripture is the possession of the Holy Spirit. You see, what happens is this. Well, let me read the text. He says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." You see, when a person becomes a Christian, you see, you're not born one. There's actually a point in time where new life is put into your life. It'd be like my child. I walk up to him and say, "So how long have you been here?" And they say, "Well, I've always been here." I say, no, you haven't. No, well, I've just always been here, Dad. No, there was a point in time where they were born. And a Christian wasn't always here. A Christian wasn't always there because parents were always here. A Christian has had a time in his life where the Spirit of God now dwells in them. Know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. And at the time when a person becomes a Christian, God gives the Spirit of God to now dwell in us. Listen to Ephesians. He says, in whom we also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, that the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. After you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God now dwells in you, and you are in God. I was talking about this when we were talking about the song that John was singing. From our perspective, we're converted. From our perspective, I turn from my sin and I trust in Jesus Christ alone. I'm converted. You've heard that term, converted. Someone made a conversion. There's somebody that was going one way, now they're going the other way. But from God's perspective, we're regenerated. From God's perspective, he puts new life in us. And so therefore, it's not that I'm running around trying to do all sorts of good things so that God eventually likes me. No, when I turn from my sin and trust in Jesus, he puts new life in us. And the Spirit of God now keeps us, and it actually bears witness with us. He says this, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption. I've got a friend right now who they're really struggling with having children. And so he's been working side jobs. And he's been working side jobs, and some of his friends have been sending him some money. And he's been building up enough money to adopt. You know what? Adoption's kind of expensive. I don't know if you knew that. And they've saved up enough money, and they've got a little profile. And just last week, somebody sent their profile to a mother to look at all of those documents. And if that mother decides to let her daughter be adopted by these friends, there would be some legal documentation that would be signed. And according to the United States of America, that child would now be my friend's child. And adoption is so real and it's so thorough. And when God adopts us into his family, it's like he, because he put the Spirit of God in us, it's because we're born into God's family. And he says this, we're sealed. And the Spirit of God now keeps us until heaven. And the Spirit of God now bears witness in us. And the Spirit of God now begins to change us from the inside out. Do you know what religion is? Religion is I try to do good things on the outside, hoping eventually that the inside will change. But true biblical Christianity is God puts new life in us, and now I do good things outside. That's the difference. Because the Spirit of God comes in, and guess what the Spirit of God does? I'm telling you what the Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God convicts us of sin. I mean, the Spirit of God is like, you know what? Because once you're saved, you still have this flesh, and you still have this body that wants to go do sinful things. And so all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I would like that. And you begin to covet, or maybe you steal it, or maybe you use some other means to get it, and you finally get that possession, and the Spirit of God is saying, no, 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 no. Christian, do you understand what I'm talking about? Conviction of sin. Have you ever noticed, Christian, that the conviction of sin, it's not just the behavior you do, but it's sometimes it's even the thoughts you have. Do you know that right now or this morning, I was reading my Bible, and as I was reading my Bible, there was a thought that kept coming to my brain of something that I thought the day before, and nobody knows about it, and in my heart, the Lord was saying, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, because the Spirit of God is now in us, and he keeps us, and he changes us from the inside out. But he doesn't just convict us of sin. He actually causes us to want God. Do you understand that heaven is about God? Heaven is not just about a place, a nice place where we can go and kind of kick back and somebody puts some iced tea in my hand. Heaven is about God. You see, it's the joy of the Lord. And in our heart, not only are we convicted of sin, but in our heart, we want to grow. And in our heart, we want to become like Jesus Christ. And you know what? When I meet somebody who says, yeah, I'm a Christian, but they don't want to do what's right. They want to go do sin and they don't want God. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that you could look at the person and say, well, your confession right now, it looks suspect. Do you understand what I'm saying? It'd be like me. Just think about this. Let's just say that. How many of you, let's just do a little informal survey work. How many of you think that according to my demeanor that I actually like the people that attend First Calvary Baptist Church? How many think I actually like you guys? Would you raise your hand? Just curious. All right. All right. Just go. Thanks. That's a good vote of confidence. All right. Thanks. You're helping me out. Now, let's just pretend I came in here, though. And while I'm speaking, I mean, I just took some cans of spray paint and I just started, kind of putting some graffiti all over the piano there. And I'd run over there and maybe I'd kick down a couple things. And, you know, I'd kind of start ripping off some of those things from the wall. I mean, am I demonstrating that I like First Calvary? But what if I was to say, hey, guys, no, I really love you guys. I really love you. And now I'm just pouring tar all over the carpet. I mean, I think you're getting the point, right? You're understanding the point I'm trying to make. So if somebody says, oh yeah, I love God, but you do things that are against God and you have no desire to be with God. You know, it'd be one, what if one of my children, they wrote me a note and they said, Dad, I love you. And I walked up to him. I said, you know what? I just like to go. Let's go to lunch. And they looked at me and they said, I don't want to go to lunch with you. But you just said you love me. Yeah. I love you on paper, but I don't like love you to go out to lunch with you. But that's what some people do. Some people say they love God. Some people say that they really have a relationship with God, but they don't want to spend time with God. They don't want to do the things that God pleases God. And you know what this passage of scripture is saying? He's saying, if you're saved, the Spirit of God is in you. The Spirit of God is keeping you and the Spirit of God is changing you. This is what he also says. He says, if you're saved, you're saved because there's been a confession of Jesus Christ. He said, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelt in him and he in God. You see, John was actually one of the apostles. He was the only one not martyred. He was the only one not killed by the Romans or the Jewish people. He was the only one that died natural causes. And he actually was the closest disciple. In one passage, he talks about him being the beloved disciple, the one that actually put his head on Jesus Christ's chest. In fact, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, John, look at Mary, your mother. Mary, look at John, your son. And Jesus was talking about his earthly mother, Mary, but he was actually transferring that relationship to John. There was a closeness with John the apostle. And he knew this and he was telling us. He said, you know what? If you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can have a relationship with God. And you know, this confession is complete. It's just so wonderful. He said this, and we have seen him testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's the essence of the gospel. The Father, that's God. That's God the Father sent the Son. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be the Savior of the world. Do you know that the gospel starts with God? In the beginning, God. God created the world. God's the owner of everything. He's the sovereign king. And he's over everything. But Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, they chose to sin against God. And when they chose, sin entered in. Sin entered into their life. Sin now is passed to all of us. The Bible says, wherefore by one man sin, and entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Do you know what I find? I find that people don't like to talk about their sin. You ever notice that? How many of you have seen somebody else's sin? You ever seen anybody else's sin? I mean, you know, you can see it. In fact, how many saw somebody else sin today, all right? How many seen somebody else sin today? The reason why I don't have the team members in here is because I don't want them raising their hand about me. No, I could point out their sin, but do I want them pointing out my sin? What do you think? I was talking to one guy. I was preaching John 3, verse 16. I got done preaching. And as I got done preaching, I said, what do you think about that message? He goes, well, I don't know what the big deal is, Will. I like the message about Jesus, but I'm not a sinner. I said, what do you mean you're not a sinner? He goes, I'm not a sinner. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, I said, have you ever lied? He goes, well, we've all lied before. I said, well, I know. Well, what's that called? He goes, well, I don't like to think of it that way. Like, have you ever stolen anything? He goes, well, just a couple things. I said, I'm kind of talking to him, like it's like a disconnect. And then and I said, you know what Jesus did? Jesus took a lot of the Ten Commandments and he took them around and he got to the heart, like one of them. He said, thou shalt not commit murder. But if you hate somebody, you're in danger of the same judgment. And he goes, well, there's one guy, I kind of stand him. And all of a sudden he goes, you know what? I'm kind of bad. I'm like, that's what I've been trying to tell you. You see, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior. Do you know why we need a Savior? Because we're all sinners. Every single one of us have broken God's law. Every single one of us have gone and done our own thing and done it our own way. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he's 100% God, 100% man. And the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And do you know what? Do you know why he can be the Savior of the world? Because he took the wrath of God. You see, God hates sin. His holiness must judge sin. It's like God's getting ready to push a bucket of judgment from heaven. He's got this bucket of acid and he's pushing it from heaven and it's going to drip down and rush upon all sinners. And do you know what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did? He did something that makes no sense. He outstretched his arms and he took the wrath of God. I mean, a few verses earlier in 1 John 4, verse 10, he says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to satisfy the wrath of God. It's falling from heaven, and yet Jesus takes the wrath of God. Do you know how he did that? He died on the cross. You see, he died on the cross because the wages of sin is death. We're all sinners. We all deserve to die. And so Jesus died for us. But he didn't stay dead. He was raised from the dead and he conquered sin. And do you know what happens because of this? Now you can be saved from your sin. Your sin's penalty has been paid for. But though it's been paid for, you need to take that free gift, don't you? Here's this free gift that's this gift to cover the wrath of God. This gift that's to cover the sin of man. This free gift is standing there. You must take it. But you know what I found as I talk to people? I could talk to people all the time about how that they need to take this free gift of salvation. But you know what? I think that some of us don't realize we need faith, don't we? We need the Lord to work in our life. We need God to help us have faith to see, yes, he is God and he has sent his Son Jesus and Jesus will cover our sin. But we need faith. And do you know how we express that faith? By confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. Listen to the verse. He said this. He said, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing with your will to take it. Do you see that to take it with your will, you've got to believe it, don't you? I mean, this is such a small illustration. I hope I'm not being trite, but you know, it's so funny. I could stick my 10-year-old daughter up here and I could tell her to fall backwards. And I don't know if she would do it. And I could say I'm going to catch her, but I don't know if she'd do it. But if I stuck my little 3-year-old girl up here, do you know what she'd do? She'd do it, and she'd say what? Do it again. You'd put her up here, whomp, do it again, whomp, do it again. And you know what it is? When she chooses to fall backwards, she's having faith that Daddy is going to catch her. And when you take this gift of salvation, when you confess and in your heart you believe, you're saying, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead and he conquered my sin. And I turn from my sin and I trust in Jesus Christ alone. Can I tell you something? It's not waving a magic wand. It's not saying magic words. Religion is magic words. Religion is you go to the pastor or the priest or you go to the spiritual ruler and you say, okay, so I messed up. So what do I do? And they reach into their spiritual bag and they say, okay, what you got to do is you got to do this spiritual thing, this spiritual thing, this spiritual thing, this spiritual thing. And then you go, okay, I do this spiritual thing, this spiritual, this thing, this spiritual. I got to say these words. I got to say these words. I got to do this. I got to do that. And then you're like, okay, look what I did. Well, who just saved you? Yourself, and you can't save yourself. For by the deed of the law shall no flesh be justified. And you know what it is? It's coming to the Lord with all your heart, seeing that you're wicked. Whatever you have in your heart, you see that you've sinned. And with whatever is in your heart, you just trust in Jesus. How many of you have ever hurt somebody really bad? How many of you have ever done this? I messed up, and you're crying, you feel bad. You feel bad, right? And then you walk up to that person that you've hurt. And you walk up to him and you say, I was wrong. And all of a sudden, it's like this wave of emotion. You thought you were under control. You had your speech all ready. But all of a sudden, when you come face to face with this person that you've offended, it's like this wave of emotion just crashes through the dam of your heart. And you just basically, you just say, I was so wrong. I am so sorry. And in fact, maybe you start crying so hard you can't even get the words out. Do you understand that that's what it is to God? It's not the exact words. In fact, sometimes you don't even remember the words you said when you asked for forgiveness, do you? Because it's that heart belief where you're just so brokenhearted that you messed up and that you hurt God and Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And you just are like, oh, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And do you understand that faith in Jesus is not just past tense, it's present tense? It's this. You see, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus, you know what's amazing? I got saved about 30-some years ago. Do you know that I still believe Jesus is the Son of God? Because this goes back to the first phrase, the first proof, is that the Spirit of God now dwells in me. And because the Spirit of God dwells in me, God's continually stoking the flame of my faith. And I still believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I still believe that Jesus died on the cross. I still believe that He's my Lord and Savior. Do you? Have you ever turned from your sin and trusted in Jesus Christ alone? Because when you do, He says this, the love of God is in your heart. That's what He says. He says the love of God is in your heart. Well, let me read it for you. And we have known and believe that the love that God hath to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God and God in him. You see, when you get saved, God now dwells in you. Now that you're saved, the Spirit of God dwells in you. And you know what? Here in His love, God is love. And God's love is now in your heart. And as you grow in God's love, guess what? You're no longer afraid of future judgment. Can I tell you guys something? I got saved as a young boy. But there was a time from about junior high to a freshman in college that I was angry with God. I was just so angry at God because I felt like He took away something I wanted to keep. And in my anger towards God, my relationship with God got put on the back burner. And then as a sophomore and junior in college, God just began to do such a work in my life. And as He began to change me, I began to become more and more assured that God loved me. But you know, there's been seasons in my life where I just drifted from the Lord. And in my heart, I just began to doubt my salvation. Am I really saved or am I going to receive God's judgment? Does God really love me? Did He really die on the cross for me? Did I really trust Jesus Christ? But you know what I find is as you grow in grace and as you understand the Bible, as you understand that God loves you, the fear of God's judgment is replaced with an assurance that He loves you. And you know what the next evidence is of God's love? It's not just that you're no longer afraid of future judgment, that you now begin to love people around you. Because when you're assured that God loves you, you can love others even if they don't like you. When you are assured that God loves you, you can love others even if they don't like you. Because no longer are you loving them because they love you. You're loving them because God's love is in you. And you know what I find is I see folks sometimes who are frantic trying to do all sorts of good deeds. And there's no security in their heart. There's just fear. I'm thinking of one girl. This was up at camp. She was a staffer at the camp we work at in northern Wisconsin. And she came up to me and she began to say, you know, I'm just so afraid that I'm going to mess up. I'm so afraid that I'm going to do a bunch of sin and God won't like me. I'm just so afraid that I'm going to do a bunch of sin and then I'm going to really mess up and God won't like me. And it's just odd to me. And she said she was a Christian. And so I didn't really think about it. I said, let's get some word in there so we can at least talk, have a same foundation. So I got to run to another meeting, but why don't you take the Bible? And I turned to Romans chapter 8 and I said, why don't you read Romans chapter 8? Go out into there's a wooded area where we're at. And why don't you get out at one of those picnic benches and just write out some thoughts about God's love. Then come back and then we'll talk about it. And this girl leaves. She comes back about 45 minutes and she comes up to me
And she's got this look of just joy. And she says, "Well, you know, I think I just got saved." She said, "Will, my parents are good parents. They're religious parents. They're conservative parents. They care for me. But do you know, Will, I have never believed that God has loved me. And Will, I've never understood that God loves me. In fact, Will, all I've tried to do is run around hoping that one day God would love me." And she said, "You know, I just turned from my sin and I trusted Jesus Christ, and God's love is in me." You know what's really awesome? Is over that summer, this last summer, this girl changed and changed and changed. In fact, I saw her, I spoke at her college in September or so, and I walked up to her and I said, "Hey, what do you think?" She looked at me and she goes, "I know I got saved 3-4 months ago. Because no longer is it me trying to run around and do good things that God will like me. Now it's God loves me, and now I'll serve Him." Have you ever been saved? Let's bow our heads together. With our heads bowed, eyes closed, I wonder who'd say, "Will, I know that if I was to die right now, I know I'd spend eternity in heaven, because there's been a time in my life